Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman, Home Appliances.
Hear from you. Look, we better not hold him up anymore. He's rugby league royalty and he's a member of the Triple M team. He joins us on the phone live from the Shire. Wade Graham, welcome to the Saturday Sin Bin.
G'day, Maroon, fellas. How you going?
Wade, the worst thing about this whole thing, Wade-O, is that me and you, all those corporate lunches we had booked in, and now they're not going ahead.
Oh, no, so disappointing, mate, so disappointing. We'll have to look to try and get them up and running as soon as possible once we're out of these protocols.
All right, well, make sure you don't injure yourself. Or maybe you should injure yourself, that I'll have more access to you for the lunches.
Well, that's how it kicked off the back of my ACL. I found myself a lot of spare time and marooned to the rescue.
Yeah, more of that, please, mate.
Listen, Wade, there's been a lot of talk this week, mate, about the players and the vaccine, and you're quite an important member of the RLPA. Where do you sit with this? I know you support the players. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. Listen, I got asked this question early in the week, and I hadn't really thought on it all too much because I didn't think it was going to be an issue, to be honest. You know, with the boys, with the religious side of things, boys, I'm going to be honest, I'm not too sure. My knowledge in that isn't great. So
I don't think anyone's is, mate, to be honest.
We had Stephen Kirby on before, Wade, and he said to his knowledge he wasn't aware that there was anything there.
Yeah, so I don't want to put my foot in it in that sense because I'm not too sure about that. But for me, with the, you know, with the guys, if it's their personal preference that they don't have the flu shots, for me, that's a no-brainer. If they were in my team, I'd be, you know, asking them to get the flu shot done. A lot of the time within the game, it's a team sport, right? So you do things that, you know, not your personal preference a lot of the time. And for me, this is a simple, get the shot done so your teammates can get to footy and get to playing. And a lot of people have worked hard to get us this position, to give us an opportunity. And for something as simple as this, for me, like I said before, it's a no-brainer. If it comes down to a personal preference, this is one of the times where you're going to have to probably go against your personal preference.
My understanding was the Players Association believed that the documents sent to government was still a work in progress. So the 100% guarantee that the NRL gave the government, the players were under the impression that was still being negotiated. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. I think we've seen, at the start of the week where the one of the clubs actually, or the NRL, tried to change the waiver. And they thought that would be enough, but it sort of come back that wasn't enough. Mm. And this is, for me, this was always, you know, a possible issue with trying to rush through the May 4 start date to get back to training. Like, my personal preference, like May 28 was always the goal to get back to playing, but if we could have sacrificed one more extra week of just training as a team just to work through all these issues, because it's a lot of moving parts with the government regulations, and a lot of moving parts with, the protocols and around training and whatnot. Even this week, today we're supposed to be allowed to get back to 13-on-13 training, but again, it got pushed back because the government regulations said no. So we had to train in groups of 10 or less. So I think we all could have saved ourselves a headache if we just let the boys train in them by themselves in isolation, like they had been, and then getting back to the team environment. Hopefully on Monday after another week of progress.
Wade, we've seen this week, in the past couple of days, the Queensland Health Minister Stephen Miles, Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian, and the Federal Health Minister Dutton say that this is a no-jab, no-play policy. And there's certainly indications from government that they're getting fed up with the constant kickback from the NRL, particularly the players. The understanding is that the rugby league's fast running out of its favours that the government have been giving it to get back so early. How big a concern is that for the playing group?
This isn't completely on the players that, you know, created this sort of...
No, it's not. It's not.
Along the whole time, all the players were asking was for more time to get through, to work through the information, because there's always hiccups with any plan. It's never going to be smooth sailing. Everything written down on paper always looks good on paper, but when you try and get it out into the real world and get it functioning, you always come across hiccups. And we sped through the protocols, you know, to try and get back to that May 4th date. So everyone was happy and we could keep progressing. And again, because of that, we're starting to cop some consequences. And for that, I don't think the players should be fully held accountable. I do agree that a lot of people have bent over backwards and worked really hard to get the game up and running. And us as a playing group need to try and repay that faith and do as much as we can to keep it as smooth as possible. But, you know, the hiccups are going to come along the line all the time when you try and, you know, rush into things.
In relation to this anti-vaxxing stance being taken by, we believe, roughly 20 players, some players have already gone to their clubs and said, look, no, give me the needle. But in relation to that stance, the next time you're on a call with the Players Association and the representatives from the clubs, the player representatives from the clubs, what are you going to say to them in relation to this?
Well, just what I just told you then. If it was someone in my team, personally, I'd be pulling them aside and finding out what the issue was. And now if it's an issue that, again, is something that I don't have great knowledge on, i.e. the religion sort of stuff, well, then I'd probably, you know, I'd wait for clarification on that. But if it was just a pure personal preference, well, then I was going to say, it's a team sport, boys. It's not an individual sport. You need to do things sometimes that aren't in your comfort zone or are not in your best interests for the greater good of the team. And that's what really good teams actually build on. So in this case, I think you need to not think about your own personal situation and you need to think about the rest of your playing group.
And if players refuse, after all that, still refuse to take it for whatever reason, do you think they should be stood down and the game moves on without them?
Well, I think they need to make that choice. If that's their choice, you're putting yourself into a corner there if you're not jumping on board. And I know for me, if I didn't like a flu jab, you know, if it puts my livelihood at risk, preventing me from, you know, making some money to feed my family, well, I'm getting the flu jab. It's simple in my eyes, but it depends how strong the player's convictions are on an individual level. If they want to sacrifice their rugby league game for, their personal preference not to get a flu shot, well, that's their prerogative.
Well, already we've seen Martin Taupau change his position, and the same for Nathan Peets as well, Wade. Like, I think they realised, you know, initially they were pro-choice and they were saying, no, you know, we don't want to get the jab, and they had their reasons, and I think they've had flu shots previously that they'd had bad reactions to. So I can understand that. But then when it was spelled out in black and white that, you know, look, you're going to be stood down in the case of Nathan Peets, well, it became a pretty easy decision for him.
Yeah, well, in my eyes, it's an easy decision. But again, it comes down to that individual player, how strong their convictions are. If you want to jeopardise your rugby league career and playing rugby league over a flu jab, well, then that's up to you as an individual. Like, no one can make that choice for you. So there's, you know, if you're pro-choice about flu jabs, there's your choice right there, really.
Yeah.
But in previous years, we're always offered the flu shot, right? Especially around this time of year, just to combat, you know, basic cold and flu in this time of year, the change of the weather, and they're not really a big issue. Some players have them, some players don't. It's never really been a big issue in the past. So I think just in the current climate, with how everything is, this is one time, boys. We, you know, you just got to get it done.
And do the players realise too that they're not being singled out here? Like if you're a nurse, we spoke about this earlier. If you're a nurse and you work anywhere in the health industry, if you work in an aged care home, if you're a school teacher, you have to have the flu shot as part of your condition to go to work. It's not like rugby league players are being singled out here.
Yeah, again, I can only go off, you know, how it's been in the past. And in the past, it's been a non-issue, right? You can make that choice if you want to get it or you don't want to get it. It's up to you. And then if you get the flu down the track a couple of weeks later, well, you know, silly decision by you, right? But I think just in this circumstance, in the current climate, like I said, for me, it's a no-brainer. If someone in our team seriously opposed it, I would have probably pulled him aside on that Monday and had a chat to him about, you know, how strong his convictions are and the reasoning behind it. And again, I don't want to sound all, it's a simple answer, because for me it's a simple answer, but the guys with the religion stuff and, you know, the other issues possibly with it, well, I think that needs to be worked on by a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, and obviously all the Sharks were happy to get their jab?
Yeah, I think there was a couple of questions raised at the start, whether it was compulsory or not. And then we sort of came to the group conclusion that it's just, it just get it done because it's a part of the protocols. And wherever there was any gray area in our, in the protocols, we thought we, when we were going through them all, we just erred on the side of caution. We got a couple of big characters, as you know, so we just wanted to make it as black and white as possible.
Mm. Oh, well, look, mate, I think you've handled it the right way. When you're trying to do something as dramatic as what the NRL is trying to do, and as significant and as, with so much consequence to it, I think the simple answer and the black and white way is often the way to navigate your way through. We get held up in all these different, individual wants and needs and pro-choice and all this ridiculous argument. But I find it almost offensive that players want to exercise pro-choice to play a team game that puts their teammates at risk.
Yeah, again, and I don't want to, put this all on the players. This is always going to be a consequence of trying to rush through to that May 4 starting date. And, I know you came out pretty strongly a couple of weeks or last week with all the pay dispute, and yes, pay was a part of the discussion, a big part of the discussion, but it was really broad. Mm. And these are the issues that we knew would arise if we rushed through without a fully understanding of what the protocols looked like and what the expectations were on the players. And it was hard to get certainty and clarity around it because there were still moving parts. It took to the Friday and the Saturday of the weekend before May 4 for the some teams even be granted permission to come into Australia. So it was just a tough situation with everyone trying to do their best. And, as a result of that, we have started up and running, but, there's been a few consequences that we're dealing with on the fly.
So, Wade, how does the game rescue this then? How do the players, given the stumbles of the past few weeks, how do the players regroup and say, guys, will there be a discussion along these lines? Guys, we've lost some ground here in our public reputation. Let's try and go and get some ground back.
Well, I don't think we have lost some ground, Kenty. I think, to be fair, I think the players have done a great job. Most of the period we were down. Of course, there was a few really big slip-ups, which was dumb on behalf of the players. But overall, in the challenging times and challenging situation, every Zoom call I've got on with the leading players have all been productive. They've been long and tough sometimes and out of a lot of the players' wheelhouse, really, with what they've had to deal with in the past. But the players have stayed united and worked for any issues that, individuals or in some cases smaller groups have come across. And we finally, most times we've worked it through to a positive resolution. And the thing we had in our favour was time to work through it. We're trying to, again, rush through everything to get to this point where we could all get back and train as a team. And these are the consequences for it. But the players have always been behind, behind the clubs and behind Peter Vlahidis. Of course, there's been a few disagreements and some issues to work through the whole process. But the players are going in the bat for the game as well to get it back up and running. And we can't wait to be playing on May 28th.
Right. So, last question. May 28 comes. Between here and then, is there anything we should be concerned about?
Well, I hope not. Starting Monday, as far as we know, we're allowed to get back into pretty much full training and full contact, down at the Sharks. So everyone else is on the same page. Hopefully we get 2.5 weeks of proper team-on-team training, and, May 28th goes off. Mm. Like planned. Well, that's ideal for everyone, the players, the clubs, the game, and I think the members and fans.
All right, Wado. Good on you, mate. Hey, listen, congratulations, another baby.
Yeah, well, I can hear my eldest actually crying through the window because I've been at training all morning. I've left him for the phone call.
Okay. Well, look, mate, all the best with the new one and all the best with the family, all the best with training on Monday.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Good on you. There he is, speaking a lot of sense too, Wade Graham. Joining us.